Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to host the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. I've been hosting this call going on 21 years. I want to thank many of you who have been on this call many, many times over the years. It's been my privilege and pleasure to be able to provide great content. And tonight's call is a very unique and special call for you because I am one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with, coaching, and being friends with, Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, on my call tonight. I will be interviewing Jennifer, and she'll give you great insight on the transformation, the inspiration that has allowed her to be a six- and a seven-figure income earner in free enterprise as a multipreneur. Jennifer is very skilled in many aspects of free enterprise. Before I bring Jennifer on an interview, I'm going to cover a few quick announcements. Then we'll move into the interview process of tonight's call. Now, if you're on tonight's call live, congratulations. I'm glad you're here. We also record this call, and it's available for playback. Now, I do watch our numbers. Last week alone, we had over 1,047 downloads on this call, and that ranked us fourth in business on Podomatic. And that is, those numbers are off the charts for replays. We don't have as many people live as we used to, but we definitely have people downloading the call. And this is also a great call to pass on to your teammates, your associates, people in your circle of influence, or you can direct them to goldenmastermind.com, where you can download or have access to the calls that I've had in the back office for at least the last 10 years. I consistently travel the country giving inspiration to large and small audiences across the United States. I no longer do any international speaking. I crisscross the United States for about 150,000 air miles on United and another 20,000 on various airlines. This Saturday, I will be in Saddlebrook, New Jersey with Diane Hunt. Diane is an exceptional client of mine, friend, and a future millionaire. Diane will be hosting several More Heart Than Talent events this year in 2018 in New Jersey. On March 10th, I will be in Baltimore, Maryland. March 17th, one of my hometowns, Kansas City, Missouri. March 24th, Joe DiBianco will be hosting me in another one of my favorite cities, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. March 31st, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. April 14th, Rye, New York. April 21st, Las Vegas, Nevada. April 28th, St. Louis, Missouri, another one of my favorite cities. May 12th, Chicago, Illinois, another favorite city. Marina Del Rey, another favorite city. I love traveling and speaking, dining, and connecting with people. So those are the events up to mid-May 2018. I will also be back in Spartanburg, South Carolina with Bridget Bartley later in the summer and other events throughout the course of the year. If you'd like me to speak in your city and you have a database or circle of influence you'd like to bring to one of my events, you can contact me on Facebook in Messenger and let me know your city and when you would like me to speak in the second half of 2018. Now with that, we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Now tonight's call, we're going to end at about 7:45 Pacific. That will be 10:45. I'm going to cut the call down a little bit as I go forward. It's going to be about a 45-minute call consistently from here on out for the More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. Now tonight's guest is a very special and unique friend of mine. Tonight's guest is Jennifer Corliss Trinkner. Now before I cover her bio, I also want to give a personal endorsement. Jennifer is one of the most exceptional human beings and businesswomen I've ever had the privilege of collaborating. I met Jennifer in the late summer of 2011. I watched Jennifer go on to be a top-tier producer in her company, a billion-dollar company. Jennifer became a six- and a seven-figure income earner in a relatively short period of time by paying the price and bringing forth the emotional and physical discipline required to be a top-tier producer. Now, Jennifer is a global entrepreneur and network marketing expert. She is on a mission to empower others to live their best life and take command of their future. This she does through leadership and training others to duplicate the systems that have made her a highly successful professional network marketer. As a former international model and fitness competitor, she learned what is required to thrive in a highly competitive atmosphere and rise to the occasion every time. Jennifer has always been a fitness enthusiast. And in 2013, I remember this, I was coaching her at the time, she won the title of Miss Bikini Universe and is also a two-time winner of Miss Hawaiian Tropicana USA. Although she was very passionate about her modeling career, she was searching for her next venture. Jennifer was introduced to network marketing direct sales by a friend and quickly took the reins by training herself on systems and teaching others to do the same. Jennifer's learned to keep it simple, master systems for success, and duplicate this mindset in her team. She's won numerous awards in her company, including being the number one enrolling sponsor worldwide, an award that is given to those that embody the spirit of she's won an award that goes out to the spirit of the company. She's inspired many business builders to greatness and continues to be recognized across the industry for tenacity yet patient approach. She is married to an exceptional man, Tom, who's a very good friend of mine, Tom Trinkner, who's also a first-class human being and a great dentist. And together they have two beautiful children. Being a mother and wife is her greatest calling. She loves to sing, travel, bake, play golf, and spend time on the family boat. Just as she's living her dream, she's very passionate about assisting others to realize theirs. And everything in that bio I've had the opportunity to experience, because I have been to her beautiful home in Lexington, South Carolina on Lake Murray. Nothing is worth dying for, but is definitely a home to live for. Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, great to have you on tonight's call.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, unequivocally, good to have you on tonight's call.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
Now, see, that is tenacity. It's in your bio, Tenacity 101. For whatever reason, the passcode wasn't working your end, but that's what an entrepreneur does, adapt and adjust. So here we have Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, everyone. It is my absolute privilege to have Jennifer on the call with me. Are you in your beautiful home in Lexington, South Carolina?
I sure am.
Now, yes. I've had the privilege of being in that home, and I did the tour, remember, the closets, the attic, the basement.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting about you is you are a perfectionist. Would you agree?
I agree.
And you were able to maintain about a 10,000-square-foot home looking absolutely perfect, no clutter, no drama, no chaos, while also being able to build a multiple six- and seven-figure business. Now, how do you do that? How do you keep such order and be and stay organized? That's the first question I want to ask you.
Well, I delegate a lot of things. I have housekeepers that help me run my home, and because I have to have things orderly because I cannot produce in chaos. So I have to have just a peaceful environment in order to make things happen. And it does require a lot of work to run a home and, you know, have a business and have children running around. And so it's really about just valuing my time and finding help. And I have an assistant that helps me too. So, yeah.
Jennifer, you know, I have a big smile on my face because I had the privilege of being in your home. So I got to do the tour, and I was looking in the closets and the refrigerator. I was in your custom closet. It has your clothes way up at the top of the ceiling, and then you pull a handle, and all of a sudden they drop down because you have a lot of clothes and shoes. And it was really a privilege to see that you really walk your talk, because you are disciplined, you are organized, you do have a system, you do have a method, because there's a lot of moving parts to success. Then you have children that are very accomplished, that are in music, sports, pageants, and then your husband Tom is also a first-class human being, friend of mine, and a very, very skilled business owner himself. There's a lot of moving parts in the Trinkner household. Would you agree?
I totally agree, yes.
Now, tell them where you do most of your production. This is classic. This is where you produce your results from.
So I redid my garage into my office, because that's where I started in my old home. I was working out of my garage and with cars in it at the time, and it was nothing like it is today. But I love to produce out in my garage because I walk around as I'm doing right now. I cannot be confined to a space, so I like to walk around when I talk. So I put my office in my garage so that I'm able to walk out to the lake and around my pool, and that's that's how I produce the best.
But let's go back to 2011, because it wasn't always like this. I remember when you called, I did my first 15-minute call with you in the summer of 2011, late summer of 2011. You hired me on the spot. You went on the waiting list for about, back then, 8 weeks, and we started coaching in the fall. You came and saw me speak in Atlanta, Georgia. That was another classic event. I don't know what how I attracted this, but there was that you came to one of my events. It was filled primarily with another company that I had a lot of business in. And there was not a lot of juice in that room other than you and your brother, and I believe, or you and your husband. And I think there was a stripper in the back of the room that had some juice, but practically everyone else was asleep. Do you remember this?
I do remember that, Jeff.
Yeah. That was classic. That was in Atlanta, Georgia. That was November of 2011. That was really when we started. That became the incubation process of you and I's relationship, our collaboration, and our coaching. And in 2011, you go into 2012. And I remember this. You attracted your first pretty little pet. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And you had this pretty little pet that was going to go to the national convention with you, and you were telling me, oh, I found my rock star.
Yeah, he actually went to that event, Jeff.
But I asked
he went
you.
To that event.
Because it's classic.
It was classic, yes.
And I knew who he was, and I looked him up, and I go, Jennifer, I don't think this guy's going to be a rock star. I said, what kind of car does he drive? Do you remember this?
I do.
And he was driving his mommy's Buick, I think, if that's
right. A white Buick, yes, that he parked around the side of the restaurant when we met, which I found a little interesting. But he was hiding.
But the bottom
the car
line
he was
is,
driving.
Here we are in August 2012. You have one person go to your national convention. One person. Now, I started coaching in 2011, 2012. We're now in August. Now, the game begins to change in 2013. What begins to happen in that second half of 2012 that 2013 becomes the breakthrough year for you?
I began to see a lot of momentum, and a lot of that I really attribute to your coaching, because I'm sure you remember I was very stuck in the details, because being a perfectionist and wanting everything right, I felt like I had to know everything about the products, the compensation plan, how everything worked, and I found that it was keeping me stuck instead of keeping the main thing. And it was your coaching that allowed me to recognize that and to let go of what was holding me back, because it was holding me back.
Your voice was also different than, even though you're a very talented singer, I've heard you sing the song by Shania Twain, Like a Woman. I mean, I've seen you crush that song. Your voice wasn't the same when you're prospecting. It wasn't the same as it is today. What is the difference in your energy between 2011 and 12 and 2018?
The difference is experience, repetition, posture. I've done this for 6.5 years now, so I've had a lot of conversations. I've had a lot of, I've failed along the way. I mean, I had to learn this whole industry, how things worked. I had to learn how to read people and understand why people do what they do. And all of that was, I really, you know, again, attribute that to your coaching that, you've helped me so much to listen to what people mean, not necessarily what they say, learn to read people and learn to qualify people for my time. That was one of the biggest things for me, is really valuing my time and spending time with people that really want to make a change.
I also remember early in your career doing a three-way call for you with someone I knew to assist you with the pay plan. You were very hung up on the details. Now, today...
Yes.
You're detail conscious, but in a different way. You're not so hung up on the analytical details. You're more focused on creating results for your team and yourself. And this is what created your rank advancing, the compounded effect. Now, here's something that I also want you to share with the people. You have a long history in being a model and a competitor in fashion and fitness. Now, I know that somewhere along the journey, it started to click with you that competitive edge that you once had and still have, you started to transmute that in your business. Not overnight, but at first, you were hung up in the details, you were analyzing, you were thinking, you had to know all the facts and figures. At what point did you just simply let go and say, I can't do this like this?
when I knew that it was keeping me held back. I mean, I knew that this was my calling and my passion, and I knew that something had to change. And it was what was required was me to let go of having to know it all. And once I did that, and I was more in the flow and working out of relaxed intensity instead of angst, it really just started to flow. And my energy was completely different. My posture was completely different. I started to attract really amazing people into my life, into my business. And all of that was from just letting go of control.
And at the same time, I met a really good friend of yours who also hired me a little later, Bridget Bartley, who was one of the two people who introduced you to the business. So you and Bridget have remained very, very good friends. You live in not the same city, but you still have remained very good friends and have great camaraderie and a culture. You also enrolled one of your friends, Carlotta Davis, who went on to become very successful, walked away from her career as a nurse practitioner. You also had friends in Santa Clarita, California, the Beebes, who I met in 2013, who went on to max out the compensation plan. I'm going to get into this in just a second, but then Casey Fluff, another exceptional woman I had the privilege of coaching, maxes out the compensation plan. So luck wasn't where opportunity met your preparation. You became skilled and good, but most importantly, you started to bring together a culture of people that came together and created the compounded effect. Now, this was all completely new for you. You had been a solopreneur in the fitness industry and in modeling and had some successes, some international and national successes. How did you learn how to bring a team together?
That's a really great question, Jeff. And I think what it is for me was I realized that I had to keep this really simple, easy, and duplicatable, because that's kind of how I operate. I don't like anything really difficult or hard or feels like overwhelming. So I knew that the easier and the most simple systems that I could put in place, which are really already in place with our company, but I just made it even easier building on social media. And I just worked with those people that wanted to be coachable. And I didn't, you know, I really didn't spend my time with people that were trying to reinvent the wheel, because I just don't have the time for that. I knew that the system worked, and I knew that the easier I could keep it, the better off it would be, because this is all about duplication. And I just happened to have some incredible people that just followed me and duplicated what I've done.
And not only do they duplicate what you've done, but your attractor factor really started to improve. Now, once again, you had no experience. You were not an overnight success. It was really into year number two that you really started to cross the bridge. There's a young woman listening in the call tonight in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Her name's Alana Menta. I coached Alana today. Alana's in her early 20s. She is a nanny. She has aspirations to be a full-time business owner. What advice would you give Alana as she's in her first year of business and she's learning how to prospect? And she's overcoming, you know, being nice, being polite, some of the things that you encountered. What would you tell someone like Alana in her mid-early 20s about the kind of posture required to be a businesswoman?
You know, you're just going to have a lot of conversations, and you're going to get better. And I was very much a disaster before I became a master. And, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to become a pro at anything. So you have to remember that you're not going to be a pro in the beginning. You're going to make mistakes, and it's okay. You're going to learn along the way, be coachable, have lots of conversations, build relationships, build rapport. People buy from people they know, like, and trust. So you want to, you know, really build rapport with people. And again, qualify people for their time. And just because they say no in the beginning, because I can tell you the BBs, Casey Pluff, Carlotta Davis, they all told me no in the beginning. But I didn't care, because I knew eventually they'd be joining me.
How did you know that?
I just knew what I knew.
But you didn't. But you weren't attached to them either, though.
No. No, I wasn't.
And you weren't
begging
them.
And I didn't chase them.
Right.
No, I didn't. I did not chase them. I kept doing what I was doing, and I knew that if I stayed consistent, that eventually they were going to join me. And so I would tell Alana, the number one thing is consistency. You got to treat this like a business. You've got to be in it you can't quit. And for me, when I decided to do this, I was all in. There was no, I'm going to try this. I was going to do this.
Jennifer, your posture is not the same way it was when I met you. You were a really nice woman, and you're in your head. Your posture is impressive. I mean, it is like, whoa, girlfriend. I mean, you're breaking glass here tonight. The glass is shattering. It's not Memorex. I mean, you have power. You have posture. You did not have that. For the people who are listening, I mean, you and I know this. We've discussed this many times. There's so many people, they put their finger on the glass, and they tap the glass, and they go, that's glass, but I can see through it. I want to be over there, but I'm here. I got to figure a little more out. And then they go to seminars and rallies and conventions and workshops, mm-hmm. and they get coached, and they hire a LinkedIn coach and a Facebook coach and this coach and that coach, and they become a coach, but mm-hmm. but they don't ever have any results.
Yes.
Why
and
is
I've
that?
Seen, I've seen that happen. Because I think people get so caught up in the personal growth and development, which is a big part of this, you guys. But if you're not keeping the main thing, and you're not having those conversations, and you're not sharing your opportunity, you're not going to have any results. This is network marketing. You have to talk to people. You have to get out and talk to people. You have to network. And, you know, leads have to be a way of life. You have to get out, and you can't just go to seminars and rallies and, you know, because you get all fired up at those things. But when it's over, what are you going to do? And I see it over and over again. People go to these things and then they get home and then, you know, the motivation is gone. So you have to find the motivation within yourself to keep yourself fired up without a rally, without a convention, without, you know, what is going to keep you fired up? And you have to really get to your why of why you're doing what you're doing.
And the house you live in, is that one of your whys?
It is one of my whys, yes.
Tell them what that means. What it means to own that house. Go ahead.
I always had a dream to have a nice home, you know, at this age. I didn't want to have it when I was, you know, much older. I'd like to downsize. But when my kids were young, I wanted to live on the lake. I actually had a picture of a house that looked very similar to this hanging on my vision board, and it was just kind of ironic. I didn't really – it was just recently I looked at that picture more closely, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this house looks almost like the one on my vision board. So it is – you know, it was a dream of mine to own a home like this, and, yeah, and I feel very grateful and blessed to have it.
I'll paint the picture. I've been there. The house would be called palatial. It's like, it looks like there's a magazine called Guns and Garden that's published out of Charleston, South Carolina, one of my favorite magazines.
You're in that magazine, Jeff.
I do. Don't doubt it. It's like really the magazine for Southern living and for, I'm not quite a Southern boy. I grew up right on the edge of the South, but spent a lot of time there. It is a palatial house. It is like definitely the home that you would want to, that you would dream of. It has a crow's nest. It has a pool in the back. It sets on the largest lake in South Carolina. It's unequivocally a dream home. It would be like the home I would dream of in Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri where I grew up. I remember going to and skiing in Lake of the Ozarks when I was 13, telling myself, oh, my God, someday I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to live like this. Well, my parents knew. They knew the general manager of a Ford dealership in Maryville, Missouri, and the owners of that Ford dealership had a lake house. My parents would get access to it occasionally, and then we'd go see the St. Louis Cardinal games. I'd dream of playing the Cardinals. Unfortunately, Jennifer, a lot of people don't dream. They have wishes, and I'll ask 99% of the population, why do you own a business? And the first sound out of most people's mouth is, followed by a preposition, well. Then I get the standard travel, help people, and freedom with no clarity. Your house is unequivocal clarity. The pool, the boat lift, the tarp on the boat, the garage that you produce in. If they would see your garage, this isn't a garage. This is an office. You've chose to make another garage because you have a garage for your cars, but you made your own custom garage because you can. Now, people look at you and go, oh, well, it's easy for you. You're the wife of a very successful business owner. It wasn't like that. I watched it. You did this completely on your own, autonomously. You didn't build a business to bring your husband home. You built a business to prove to yourself you could, and then to really contribute to your household in your terms and your time frame. You built a business to empower other people, and you've done it. Look at the people in your team. I mean, how much pride is it when you have at least 10 people that are making $10,000 a month or more? What does it feel like to be able to look around the landscape and say, they're with me?
Ah, there's no better feeling. That's what excites me more than anything, is just watching, you know, friends of mine being able to be set free, you know, physically, financially. I love that. And it's what keeps me fired up, is I know that I have an incredible solution for people, and I know what it's done for me and those that I'm, you know, love and care about. And, you know, and I'm just excited to share it with the next person.
So in 2012, you go to your national convention in August with one person who quits the business. In 2013, I was there. Remember 2013, you're in the audience. You come and see me speak in the Terry Fader Theater. Susan Sly is my host me at that event. And at that event, I know you had over 20 people. You go from one who quits to 20 to 2013. Now, 2013 is also a year that you devoted part of that year to winning a major competition that is on your biography. What competition did you train for while you have two kids, while you're running a household, building a business? What competition did you win that year?
It was Miss Bikini Universe.
And share with a little bit about your background in the pageant and the modeling world, what that was like in your teens and 20s, which then allowed you to be the competitive woman that you are today.
Well, I got involved in pageants when I was in 16, 17, did a few of those, and then got involved in modeling and a lot of swimwear modeling, fitness modeling, and did that for years. I competed in a lot of different competitions, and then I got into fitness. So I've always been a competitor. I've always had a competitive, you know, nature and spirit. So finding network marketing was, you know, just the next step for me. And it allowed me to still be competitive and driven. And not only that, but fulfilled my, you know, because I was not feeling fulfilled in modeling. I mean, it was fun. I got to travel. I got to do a lot of great things. But it wasn't fulfilling.
And not only was it not fulfilling, it didn't pay you much. And when I asked, you know, what was your best year, it wasn't what most people think. Even though you had a lot of top-tier jobs that you got. I mean, I've seen your biography. I've seen some of the brands you've represented. What most people don't understand is that it's not nearly as glamorous as it looks. It's a lot of time standing around in the sun, under lights, in makeup, 4 o'clock in the morning, low pay, and it's just not a really good lifestyle conducive to having a family. Would you agree?
No, it was not. You're right. It was great when I was young. You know, I got to experience a lot of different things and travel to a lot of places. So it was really great experience. And I think it shaped who I am today. But, this is completely different than that, and so much better in every single way.
All right. So I'm going to ask you, like, some real inside advice here, because you have unequivocally crushed the inner game of this industry. You've become the law of the few. Now, only a few people ever achieve 6 figures in a business. Now, you've achieved 7 figures in a business, and I know you have a first-class assistant, Ken Carnes. I heard Ken, who is, I know he's not replaceable. He's like Chris Shaw is to me, because you have to have great people in your circle of influence. But right now, what's the number one attribute you would tell anyone that's listening to this call tonight if they want to be where you are in network marketing or direct sales?
The number one thing is mindset, motivation, consistency. And when you start to earn 6 figures, hire an assistant. I waited, and I found myself overwhelmed a little bit. I found myself overwhelmed a bit because I was trying to play too many instruments. And that's when I hired Ken, and he shifted everything for me. He's my right-hand man, and, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without him. And not only that, I hired other people, too, to help, and it really just freed up my time and allowed me to be even more productive.
His sister is also a top-tier income earner in your company. Had the privilege of coaching Katie. I mean, she's a rock star, superstar at LinkedIn training. So I mean, Ken is also a detail man. Ken was first class to me when I did that event in Columbia with you. And do you remember me going, Jennifer, you have to hire an assistant. Jennifer, you have to hire an assistant. Jennifer, you have to hire an assistant.
Yes, I do. I do, Jeff.
So that means that was the next level of letting go.
Yes. Yes, because I remember telling you how am I going to have somebody to do it like I would do it? And that was, it was another level of my control. And I can tell you, I used to give my husband a shopping list of what to get at the grocery store. And if he didn't get it exactly right, I was upset about it. Now, I don't care what he buys. I mean, he's just, he does all the grocery shopping, which is great. And he loves it. And he does the cooking, too. So it's really great. But it required me letting go of those kind of things that really don't matter.
But your husband, Tom, is not Mr. Dad either. He's not Mr. Mom.
No.
I mean, he runs a very successful multi-practice, top-tier cosmetic dentistry. I mean, he doesn't run this little dental practice out of the back of your back 40. I mean,
no, he's been in private practice for 35 years, so he has a thriving practice.
Now, let's talk about numbers, because these numbers will blow some of the people away. It's not uncommon for you to enroll 20 to 30 people in a month, is it?
No. My average is 10 to 15, but I've had a couple 22, 25 people a month, yeah.
Now, how they show up, right? That's how this happens.
They show up, but I put in the work. I connect with people on LinkedIn, Facebook, and I have been, you guys, for 6.5 years. So people ask me all the time, how do you do it? I've remained consistent. I've built these relationships, many of them for a long time. So when they come to me, they're ready to get started because they've watched. They've watched my habits. They know that I'm, solid, that I'm going to be there, that I'm not half in this, So a lot of times when they're coming to me and they have messages in my mailbox, they've watched and they're ready. And that's when I want them anyway.
Jennifer, I was with you when we went from you went from posting your modeling pictures to writing content. And we used to have these conversations about writing content. Do you remember those conversations?
Yes, I do.
And
I
you,
do.
God, I have so much history with you. I could do a 5-hour call with you. I mean, we've dined so many times. We've done events together. We've traveled to places. You've shared stages together. I mean, I love what I've seen you do. I mean, you embody my coaching. You embody the American spirit. You embody what your company represents. A woman building a business from the comfort of her home with children, starting off part-time, and becoming a top 10 income earner in a billion-dollar company, meaning that you were not an overnight success. You were a product of the product. You didn't come out of the gate strong. It took you about 2 years to really start to develop the rhythm, but you caught the spirit of it. You caught the energy. Now, here's something I want to tell anyone listening. One of the reasons Jennifer is where she is plain and simple, her habits. Her habits first, then her mindset, then her skills. Jennifer will just unequivocally out-habit you. In her bio, she said tenacity. This is what you and I have in common. It's like it's not that you want it, you're committed. Now tell them how important it is to have habits, even though you have kids. Your children are very accomplished children. They are pageant contestants, athletes, musicians, intelligent. I mean, you got a lot going on with them. Your husband is a full-time business. How do you put it all together, build a 7-figure business, and do what you do?
Well, first of all, Jeffrey, I don't let my kids be my excuse. I let them be my reason.
Say that again. That merits a call.
I do not let my kids be my excuse. I let them be my reason.
Can you explain that?
So when I started this business, I had a conversation with my husband and my kids, told them what we were going to do. And so I had everybody on board. My husband was on board. My kids were like, you know, and they have very much been a part of my journey. And they know, and I have made sacrifices. I've, you know, I've had to miss certain things. I've had to, you know, go to events and miss certain things, but they are my reason. And because of that, we're able to live a life of complete freedom, you know, to be able to pick up and travel wherever we want, whenever we want, do whatever we want. And I think that that's been really good for them, just to watch my habits, my tenacity, and to make sacrifices, you know, without, it's going to take sacrifices. If you want to be successful in anything, it's going to take, you know, time, it's going to take sacrifices. And that's what it's really been about. I've just kept them as my reason for what I do.
How important is it to have a routine daily?
Well, it's absolutely key. If you don't have a routine, you're not going to produce. You're going to find reasons to procrastinate.
Let's go to the other side of success, what so many people do. Human beings are predictable. You're going on 8 years now. You're an 8-year veteran of this industry, 8-9 years. And for the last 7 years, top tier producer. What would you say is the number one, two, or three reasons that people fail?
The number one reason is they don't believe that they can succeed. They have a fear of failure. They've tried a lot of things. Why is this going to be any different? So it's their own mindset, their habits. They don't have good habits. They're half in, half out. They have, as you say, many meltdowns instead of mini meltdowns. You know, they have too many wall-kicking moments that keep them stuck. They are not spending their time with really quality people. They're letting people drain them. Those are the key things that I hear in this industry where people get stuck. And just not keeping the main thing, and getting caught up in too many other things. I see that over and over again in our industry. People start to have some success and then they want to change things and go off on another path or chase the next shiny object instead of keeping the main thing.
Jennifer, in taking notes, you've given about 20 key points. Now, you've said the main thing, that's accounted 5 times. What does that actually mean in your own terminology, the main thing?
You just have to be all in. You have to be all in because there's always going to be, you know, another shiny object. For me, with my company and with, you know, there's nothing that anyone can tell me that's going to pull me away from what I'm doing. Nothing. I have that much conviction for what I do. So you kind of just have to have that posture because, you know, I've had so many people come to me and join me here, go do this or, you know, and no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep the main thing.
It's because you're not recruitable and you're not going to be distracted.
Not distracted whatsoever.
And you definitely.
So I have fewer and fewer people coming to me because they know I'm not going anywhere. So they're not messaging me anymore. They're actually joining me.
And as we start to wrap up here, there's a real key point that I watched you cross the bridge. You're very skilled at internet marketing, but you're also equally skilled at attracting people in your own circle of influence. So your team is a combination of people in your influence that have gone on to produce, but you also have created a very large brand. Now, I watched you do this. I remember you showing me, do I use this picture, do I use that? Remember the picture with the black pants sitting down? I love that picture. But remember,
that was
one of them. I remember all your brands, and I remember going over some of these with you. But what I watched you now, I'm watching you in Facebook, as Facebook has created some changes and you adapted, adjusted to keep your really consistent brand in Facebook. But I've also watched you go into LinkedIn. And, you know, our posts are connected in LinkedIn. So I get to watch all of your posts. I get to watch Bridget and Melissa Essig. I get to watch. They all seem to pop up at the same time. And I've watched you really cross the bridge in the last 2 years. As you wrap the call up, what advice would you give someone about writing content? Because writing content was not natural for you. I watched you go from analyzing how to write content to writing content that gets in the hundreds and hundreds of views and shares. How were you able to cross that bridge?
Letting go of and just getting better just by doing it. And it, if I look back at some of my posts from years ago, and sometimes I cringe, I'm like, did I really post that? But to see how far I've come in 6.5 years just by being consistent, and that's going back to what I said earlier about becoming a pro at anything, it takes 10,000 hours. So don't expect that you're going to be a brilliant writer or, you know, a great content poster from day one. I mean, it's not going to happen. You just have to do it, and you have to experience, you know, it's just experience and repetition and, you know, the skills and all that comes with, you know, over time, you're going to have that.
Now, see, I get to see the whole situation. So the people hearing you tonight, they're like going, oh, my God, her energy. Well, your energy wasn't bad when we started, but it wasn't – you didn't have the same kind of conviction. You weren't dialed in the way you were. I mean, you knew you were going to succeed, but you didn't. You were too much into how am I going to. But
yeah.
The woman you are tonight has been a process. And you have become an exceptional woman of influence, a mentor, a role model for people. But it's all because your effort is like the best. Of all the people I've coached in my career, you would be in the top five people I've coached of 12,000 people when it comes to habits, mindset, and then learned skills. Jennifer, I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. You absolutely crushed it. This call is officially recorded. Is there any parting words of wisdom, or if there's anyone who wants to contact you, I don't want to get your inbox flooded, but anything you want to offer or any insight you want to give before we wrap up the call?
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, Jeffrey, for just your friendship over the years and your mentorship and for having me as a guest on tonight's call. And for those of you listening, thank you for joining. And, you know, you can do this. I just want you to know you can do this. Don't ever quit. That's the most depressing thing for me is to see people quit when they're, you know, when they're just getting started. It really saddens me because this is just the best industry in the world. And no matter what you're doing, you have to decide that you're never going to quit. And you got to work at it every single day.
Jennifer, thank you for your first-class call tonight. Say hello to my good friend, Tom. He is a first-class human being. I look forward to doing an event with you this summer in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and having dinner with you and Bridget. So thank you very much. To everyone, that is Jennifer Corliss-Trinkner. This call is officially a call. We're going to wrap it up. And this call is recorded. We'll be available tomorrow by 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is Jennifer Corliss-Trinkner. This is definitely a call you want to share with your team, your circle of influence, and your social media. Have a great evening, everyone.